Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, May 21st, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter, There is a Solution, and we are on page 27. Going to take apart today paragraph 3. And 4, and that begins with, he said to the doctor, and ends with, alcoholic of your description. And then today's readers are the 12 steps, Wendy B., the 12 traditions, Karen B., and then let's see, we're going to work with Elaine T. for reading the text today, and we'll figure out the rest as we go. Let me mention this too as well, because it's a very vital, important part. Ramona A. is going to greet newcomers today, so don't leave about that. And sponsors, and Leslie W. will give you some. Did I say Leslie W.? Let me do this better. Got myself a little jacked up today. Leslie M. will give us some announcements today that are important for us to know. The reference numbers, we're going to call these share ID numbers, please, for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting is 12923, and that would be for Monday, May 20th, the 10 a.m. meeting. And then this morning, we already had a meeting that's recorded. That would be for Tuesday, May 21st, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. That share ID number is 12935, 12935. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery to the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose.
We can't hear you.
Melanie, we can't hear you. Can't hear you, Melanie.
I think this works now, though. Hi. Am I being heard now?
Yes.
Okay, thanks so much for your help. I'm going to just back up a little bit because I don't know where I left off. Let's see if we can start with the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Wendy B. to please read the 12 steps.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Linda B. And I will now ask Karen B. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Karen B. here in Utah. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star to mute your phone, star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And this refers to the star 1 on your key function there to in order to stay disconnected technically from interrupting the recording, rather than just your own mute on your handheld phone set. Thanks so much for that consideration. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There Is a Solution. We're on page 27, looking at paragraph 3 and 4 today to unpack. Starts with He said to the doctor, and then ends with alcoholic of your description. And I'd like to ask Elaine T. to read those two paragraphs, please. Comment on those to open us up this morning. Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. He said to the doctor, is there no exception? Yes, replied the doctor, there is. Exceptions to such cases as yours have been occurring since early times. here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what we called vital spiritual experiences. To me, these occurrences are phenomena. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. In fact, I've been trying to produce some such emotional rearrangement within you. With many individuals, these methods which I employed are successful, but I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your description. Oh, a powerful paragraph, and I'm grateful that I was listening this morning to the history behind all of this from Harland and the step explanation from Kim. Unfortunately, I don't have the time or the skill to repeat them, but I have enough that I can tell you that Roland was there to get Ebby, and Ebby was there to get Bill, and Bill was there to get Bob. And if you follow that chain and you think it's all odd, it's not. It's God. Higher power, whatever you want to call him or her or it, made it so that those of us who have these problems can find a solution. And the solution is that vital spiritual experience. It's finding that power that we lack. And I unfortunately did not have Bill's experience, but I have followed the steps, and I have had an emotional displacement and rearrangements. I sort of doubt that I'm done. I think it's so slow in me that it's going to continue by drips and drops. And but my ideas, my emotions, and my attitudes are changing, and I am hoping that that will help me to stay successful as I am today, a recovered person in this program. I am thrilled to be a member and grateful that by listening to you all, I get to understand that I can't do this without alcoholic help, without spiritual help, that I am an alcoholic in the sense of a compulsive overeater, and that the gift for me is that slowly by working this program one day at a time, I become the person that my higher power created me to be. And in doing so, I am so blessed and so delighted to live the life that I live today. And it's not perfect. I'm sitting here reading out of my left eye because my right eye is not working properly. And I had surgery and it's not looking like it's worked either. So, you know, I still have feelings and emotions that I have to process. And thank you, God, for the 10th step, because I get to do that every day, thus keeping me in fit spiritual condition, which allows me to stay abstinent and stay in touch with my higher power and live this life. And it is far better than the one I was living before I came into program. And I never left the rooms, even though I struggled for 25 years. And I thank this group, and I thank you all. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Elaine T., for getting us started this morning. So again, we're on page 27 of the big book, paragraph 3 and 4 today we're going to unpack, and it's now open for additional folks to comment their experience, strength, and hope on those two paragraphs.
Shlomit Hanna.
Shlomit.
Miriam Rivka.
Mo H. and Miriam Rivka.
Wendy B.
Lance L.
Wendy and Lance. Anybody else?
Beatrice O.
Beatrice. Okay, let's stop there, please. Then we can go with another round in just a moment. So this is what I have so far. I have Shlomit Hanna, Mo H, Miriam Rivka H, Wendy B, Lance L, Sherry KB, and Beatrice O. Good morning, Shlomit Hanna.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, everybody, for all the service that everyone's doing, and just by being on this meeting. I'm so grateful to be here and so grateful to be reading this story. Wow, and this paragraph. And this is really where I am. This is where I am, and this is where I'm trying to focus today. I'm back to day one. And I'm, you know, I was abstinent for the better part of 11 and a half years. And I picked up and went into relapse. And I had 13 days and I picked up again. And in thinking about what happened, I also had listened to Harlan's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful special edition. And he talks about the spiritual experience and that recovery is what we are aiming for, that it's not just about abstinence, it's about recovery and recovering. And to me, that's kind of, I guess, the difference between just working from self-knowledge and just putting down the alcohol and really having that vital spiritual experience. And yes, yes, putting down the food, absolutely, that's a given. But that this program is so, so much more than that. And I realize that I think one of the things that happened to me that caused me to pick up was that I was focusing primarily on my food plan and on a pretty restrictive food plan that wasn't really entirely working for me. And I was so grateful to be abstinent, and I'm grateful to be abstinent today. But I was so focused on that food plan that I wasn't focusing enough on the recovery aspect and on the spiritual aspect. You know, I have a lot of things going on, as does everybody else. I'm in another program, and I'm getting in touch with my inner child feelings and my issues there, and that causes a tremendous amount of emotion. And one of the things that this program reminds me of, all 12-step programs, is that this is spiritual, that I can be in the throes of emotion, but that I have a higher power, and I can put all of my troubles and all of my emotions, thank you, on my higher power, and he will bring me out of this. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Swamitana. Mo H., you're next, and Miriam Rifka will follow you.
All right. Thanks, Melanie. Thank you for your service and all those who give service. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. Wow, wow, wow. Yes, look at here. This whole paragraph to me is about change. Vital spiritual experience, a change, huge emotional displacements and rearrangements, change, ideas, emotions, and attitudes, guiding forces of lives, these men suddenly cast to one side, and a new conception begins to dominate them, change, an emotional rearrangement, change, it's all about change, change, change. And I was thinking, and I couldn't find where it is, but that sentence that reads, we can't differentiate the true from the false. When I'm in the food, I cannot tell what's true and what isn't true. All I want is the food. All I want is more of the food. But when I am abstinent and I'm working this program, I can differentiate. And I can know when my emotions are building. I feel it. As I heard on the earlier meeting, it's like a fire burning inside of me, and I need to do something about it. And I either go back to my old behavior, which is to lash out, to use my mouth or body language or anything like that, and say something very inappropriate, or I can pause and I can ask God for guidance, or I can go do a 10 step at 10, 11, and 12, which keep me in the solution and help me with this huge emotional displacement. And there have been times recently when things have happened around here and I will say, you know, you may be right, and just let it go and not argue to try to make myself right, to try to prove myself that, you know, I know it all and it's my way or the highway. No. So this this paragraph here is showing me that there is exceptions if I work my program vigorously, as it is stated in the Big Book. And so grateful that this came about. This is the beginning of step two for me. And so with that, Melanie, I think I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, very much, Mo H. Okay, so we have Miriam Rivka H, and then Wendy, you'll come in after Miriam Rivka.
Hi, thank you so much, Melanie. This is Miriam Rivka H in New Jersey. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and thanks for all that are on the line. The first thing that occurred to me when we were doing the reading this morning is that this spiritual solution, this vital spiritual experience, this big emotional change and rearrangement, is the only solution that the doctor has found with alcoholics such as this one. And it occurred to me that nothing new has been found either. Like, to my knowledge, there is no other magic pill or, you know, diet or whatever it is that works for our problem other than a spiritual experience. You know, for people that are my type of a compulsive eater, you know, not people that just need to lose weight on a diet. I've tried everything before I came here and nothing ever worked. And in fact, that's what brought me to program. It was just this realization of, wait a second, like, I've been to nutritionists, I've tried diets, and it's never worked in the past decade that I've been trying all these things. So why do I think it's going to start working now? I need something different. And I just own for myself that this, right, there's literally, like, it's like a totally different neural pathway that my brain switches into when I am in line with my higher power. And I can have the same exact circumstances and one day wake up restless, irritable, and discontent, snapping at everybody. And another day, when I'm in line with my spiritual perspective, I'm just at peace and I'm just in acceptance. I think someone else mentioned, like, what, you know, the answer to that as well, we'll learn as we go on, is the 10th step. You know, when I am out of line, I do a 10th step to get myself back into that spiritual perspective. So just, you know, I'm grateful for this reminder today. I actually came onto this meeting because I was feeling really irritable this morning. And getting back into my old negative thinking. And even just listening to this message again, my answer is with my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Miriam Rivka. Wendy B., you're next, and then Lance, you'll follow.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And this is one of my favorite passages in the Big Book, you know, this whole description of the huge emotional displacement and rearrangement. And it just describes so perfectly what I've experienced. You know, I used to be so self-absorbed and selfish, so limited in my perspective. You know, I only cared about what I could get out of life, you know, and God's transformed me. You know, I've become aware of Him living inside of me, and I have committed to aligning myself up to His will for my life, you know, and He's continuing to root out the things that don't line up with His intentions, you know, and He's shining the light on the motives of my heart, you know, that need correcting and healing, you know, as I bring them to Him. You know, He's doing the work of changing me. And just yesterday He showed me how selfish I was with my 15-year-old grandson, you know, who's being a typical teenager, you know, and not showing appreciation and not cooperating with what I want him to do, you know, and you know, I wanted a return for all the things I do for him, you know, there were strings attached to everything, you know, and I was manipulative and I wanted to control the outcome and I wanted his favor and I wanted, you know, I just wasn't valuing the relationship he had with my ex-son-in-law, his father, you know, and God just showed me that relationship was a special gift that he gave them as father and son, and I can't devalue it, you know, and I'm just so grateful God's rearranging my emotions and my attitudes, you know, that I get to be, have love and acceptance now. And I just love this process. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so very much, Wendy B. Lance L., you're next, and then Sherry KB. We're ready for you, Lance.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lance L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from California. And Roland Hazard did a great service for me. Great service. I'm in debt to this man. His family as well. You know, he showed me that no amount of money or power could control this as long as it was something human. And, you know, his family dumped all sorts of money. And Roland here, he is looking for a solution. He's looking for something that will help his alcoholism along. And, you know, they tried geographical changes. They tried living in one house or another house in a different state and all sorts of things. They tried putting his Roland Hazard into different businesses to try to distract him from the alcoholism. As it says in the reading, he went to sanitariums. You know, this isn't the first doctor that he saw, right? But this is one of the most renowned doctors in psychology at the time. And, you know, what are my ideas, emotions, and attitudes that guide me when I'm compulsively overeating? Well, my idea is me. How am I going to feel better? How am I going to work my life around food? My emotions, selfish, self-centered. I'm all about feeling different. And attitude. My attitude towards life really sucks. Okay? And when it comes down to it, I'm generally a good guy in all other areas of my life, with my family, with my job, all those kind of things. My attitude towards life is really great. But when I'm dealing with my own emotions and the buildup of emotions, and I'm looking on how to relieve that pain because I can't manage it on my own, you know, I look into foods. And those were once the guiding forces of my life. And here, I've had this form of change. This whole paragraph, to me, is about change. You know, they were once the guiding forces of my life, and they're suddenly cast to one side. And a completely new set of concepts and motives begin to dominate them. Well, I'm no longer all about myself and make myself feel different. I'm no longer about that. You know, what this program teaches me in working through the steps is that my concern is for others. When I start concerning for others instead of myself, I move further and further away from the addictive thinking. And further away from the mental state that parallels Fine. My sound reasoning. And, you know, Melanie, I really appreciate you being here and opening this lineup. And for me, this is about change. So I'll always remember this. I pass.
Thanks so much, Lance L. Sherry KB, you're up next. And then Beatrice will come in right after you.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California, a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. And I'm just going to dive right in here. Everybody's talking about the changing here, and that's what this whole paragraph, this one paragraph is all about. It's telling, you know, that there's got to be change is happening and rearrangements in my thinking and everything. So I remember hearing once somebody saying to me, you know, Sherry, there's just one thing you need to change. And I went, what is that? And they said, everything. Everything the way you think. And that just means that I set aside my old ideas. You know, I think of the set-aside prayer to God to change me. And that, you know, I rely on God instead of self-reliance, instead of the self-will, which is the voice of my disease. You know, I'm thinking of working with others rather than what Sherry can get out of the scheme of life. I'm putting my thoughts into helping others, to help other compulsive overeaters, not wanting anything returned, because I stay recovered by working with others, by working the steps. And the steps change me so that I can get unblocked and connect to my higher power, so my higher power can use me as a vehicle to work through me. You know, I can't do God's job, but I can do God's work. And I think that's what this is all about, is that, you know, the gift that I get is I get to stay out of my disease by working with others. I get that that change of putting others ahead of me instead of me always thinking of me. You know, the food is down. I'm abstinent. I have a whole new attitude and outlook on life. And it's all of that change that went on in me. And I had that spiritual awakening, that spiritual experience due to working the steps. Because what happens is when I work the steps, I get unblocked and I get connected with a power greater than myself. And I want to, in order to keep it, I have to give it away. And so that all this is about changing within me. I didn't realize how much what was going on inside of me because I was so busy face down on the food, trying to deal with my emotions the best way I knew how. And what it's saying now is that, you know, God does that for me. While I'm busy working with other people, God gets in there and clears out all that stuff, all that yuck between my ears, like a spiritual vacuum cleaner, and just sucks it all out while I'm busy helping, working with others. And then I stay free and I stay, you know, connected to my higher power. And it's all about that willingness to change. And the only way I found it for me, a compulsive overeater like me, is through working the steps and getting unblocked and connecting with a power greater than myself that I choose to call God. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Sherry KP. We're going to have Beatrice, next, but I wanted to let you all know and invite you to get prepared. We're going to open up the lines right after Beatrice's 3 minutes to share. We're going to be looking again at page 27 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, paragraph 3 and 4 today. So get ready. Beatrice has her 3 right now. Good morning, Beatrice.
Good morning. This is Beatrice, recovered food addict from Los Gatos, California. And I like the sentence where it says, suddenly cast to one side and completely new set of conceptions. So I think that when I knew that God came in and lifted this obsession from me, I wanted to be abstinent. I wanted to care about my body, and I started to forgive myself, and my food addiction was just a character flaw. It was a self-centered disease for me, and the other part that is really important for me is on in the doctor's opinion, that it says, they believed in themselves and still more in a power, which puts chronic alcoholics back from the gates of hell. And that's where Roland was. He was either in hell or the gates of hell. It doesn't matter. Because I was like the walking dead in the food. So what I want to say is here in Bill's story on page 11, he said, if there was a devil, he seemed to be the boss universal, and he certainly had me. So bottom line is, I had to believe. I felt like I was going crazy. And if you think you're going crazy, you're probably not crazy, because crazy people don't think they're going crazy. Anyway, the other thing is I finally realized that life is not going to stop for me to recover. And God doesn't create confusion. And I had to surrender myself to this power. They say that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And I believe it's an inside job, and that's why only God can lift this obsession from me. And I think that's it. I just know that the Spirit lives in me. Call it holy, call it pure, call it godly. I believe what Bill believed. If there was a devil, he was in charge of this universe, of this of Earth. And
time.
Anyway, thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much. Beatrice, oh, so the lines are open again to share on paragraph 3 and 4, page 27.
Jackie H. in Colorado.
Jackie H.
Wendy M.
Donna B.
I'm hearing some I'm hearing some other people. I did hear Wendy B., so hang on just a second. Some folks were kind of calling out, but I didn't catch your name. Would you say that one more time?
Leia
D. And somebody LD. Is that, did I hear somebody LD? I heard about you, Leia.
Donna B.
Freedom. That's what I got. Freedom. Gotcha. That's the voice I'm looking for, just a little bit higher pitched. So I have five. Let's see what the time does with that, Patty. And then if we have time, I don't think we're going to have time for the rest that are so eager to share on this morning. I have Jackie H., Julie E.B., Wendy B., no, Wendy B., it's Wendy M., because I already heard of Wendy B., and Leia D., and then Freedom. And we'll see what happens after that. I think that should take our time. Everyone else, would you please press star 1 on your phone keypad, and we'll get the line cleared up for Jackie to share. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. Thank you all for your service. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado, and so very grateful, so grateful to be here. This is such a beautiful reading, and it took me back to what my journey looked like and how I was first, my very, very first experience with 12-step was my dad. He was an alcoholic, and somebody's unmuted. And he was in AA, and that was my first experience. And so whenever I needed it, I knew what was there. And so I'm so grateful for these pioneers, right, that started this. My dad got sober in 49, so a long time ago, early on in AA. And I just remember as a little girl, I can remember as far back as I can remember, I had such a deep hunger. I felt so empty and so separated, and I had such a hunger to feel connected to something, to feel this wholeness that, by the way, I feel now, which I am so grateful. And I substituted so, and it was God that I was looking for. It was that connection with spirit, and I didn't know that. And so I looked in all kinds of different directions, and food was the first place. And then there was other things. There was alcohol, cigarettes, just on and on and on it goes, right? And I did not want to identify in OA. And yet it never left me. And it was just always there in the background of the stage, right? Ready to come out and get me every now and again, and never totally left me. And I just spent so much time trying to fix the outside of me. I wanted to look good. I wanted to present a certain image. And so OA was not on my radar. I did not want to be here. And you know what? I am proud. I was ashamed. There was so much shame around the whole eating thing. And today, man, I'm glad to be that I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Because this is where and I don't think my journey is ending here by any means, don't get me wrong, but this is where I started working diligently and simply with the steps in a simple way on the inside. And now my outside actually reflects what is in the inside. And, oh, man, I just get really emotional when I think about that, because for so many years my inside was so troubled and thank you. And today my outside reflects what's on the inside, and I get to help other people. I get to pass this message on, and I could not be happier or more grateful than I am today sitting here. And I no longer feel that emptiness and that hunger. Thank you, and I will pass.
Thanks, Jackie H. Julie E.B., you're up. And then Wendy will come in after you. Wendy M.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. I really think this paragraph is very powerful for me. And today, when I talk about a spiritual experiences, I mean, I'm waking up here in Colorado Springs. No matter what you think of Colorado, here in Colorado Springs, we plow about once a year, most 300 a day of sun a year. And we're waking up to a snowstorm and a snow day. And this just reminds me now when I see these things because of my spiritual experiences that God has infinite possibilities. Like I've been working with my, three teenager, young adults, my husband, we got three cars, different activities, and I've been arranging things, and just trying to help facilitate things. And making my arrangements. And here, infinite higher power, something I did not consider, wasn't in the forecast, a snowstorm, Oh my gosh. So these ideas, emotions, attitudes were the guiding forces in my life. That was that I knew that I had been hurt in childhood, that I had to learn to take care of and protect myself. And then I looked to the food to do it. I looked to perfectionism, to success, all the while feeling inside that I was nothing. I looked to so many outside things to work, to try and make a marriage and a family. I thought I was doing so great. Like I thought I was an in-touch mom and recently had to hear that my kids grew up feeling like they couldn't have their feelings. Well, I couldn't have my own feelings. So, of course, I never was comfortable with them. In my self-seeking, I pushed those away and because they didn't fit with myself and wanting everyone around me to be happy. So now that I'm in recovery, they can say things to me like, you need to back off, or I don't know how I feel. And this has all happened because now when we ask for the little prayer in the big book, we ask for God's care and protection with complete abandon, which for me, complete means full, and full not of the food, not of self-will. Abandon means to give up, to have run one's course completely. And this morning I look at this snowstorm and I just got to give up. Like this just displaces everything and all the arrangements. And the harder I push at so many things, I forget that I'm looking at it from the point of view if I'm in fear of my finite self. And God has an infinite, the universe, if you don't have a higher power that's God, the universe has an infinite amount of possibilities that you can't even consider if you spend all day on it like I used to. So I hope today that you will just keep doing the next step because I had no idea what to do and what was next. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Wendy M., you're up next, and then Leah D. will follow you. Wendy M.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Mel, for your service. So what I get from this, and I did have a vital spiritual experience 3 years ago when I gave up all of my alcoholic foods, and it was grace. It really was. But what's happened over the course of this year is I picked up a new sugar, and that is a relationship, a complete addiction to another person. And I can tell you I recommend not doing it. It's actually, for me, it was harder than giving up the sugar and the flour. And what this requires, this vital spiritual experience, this huge emotional displacement rearrangement, I love the words they choose, everything completely changes. But what's required is that I have to give up my sugar. I got to give up all of it, right? Because I've been living in, I can have one foot in God's world and one foot in my world. To make sure and guarantee that I get the ease and effect, the effect, just like the food, the ease and comfort, the effect, that I can run it, I can control it, and here's the deal. It's required that I let go of all of it entirely. It's required. I can't hold on to just a few candy bars and say that I'm abstinent. I cannot hold on to a relationship where I'm addicted to this individual, and have peace, and I write down every morning, surrender and trust God's plan for me. Well, I got to really do that completely. It cannot be a partial trusting. It just can't. I can tell you right now, it doesn't work at all. And what's happened is I work less with others. I have less sponsees. I measure my food less. My pants are tighter. I care less about other interests. I'm miserable, right? So I'm at the point of I'm miserable in it and I'm miserable without it. It's just like the food. And I mention this because I know a lot of us, the food is one way in which we seek ease and comfort, but there's so many other ways that we do it. And what's required today is entire abstinence, complete and utter entire abstinence. And what came with the entire abstinence for me 3 years ago was a grace. It was an ease. I'm neutral with the food. That's incredible. I never thought that that would be the case. But it turns out we can jump to other things to seek ease and comfort. And the insanity of being one foot in God's plan, one foot in my plan, it's insane. It doesn't work. It's all about me getting. It's all about me getting the whole thing. The whole deal with the addiction, whatever it is, food, people, doesn't matter. It's all about me getting, and that makes me a really small person. And it doesn't leave any room for God because I'm still running the show. To make sure I get ease and comfort, I've got to run the show. Is that time, Mel?
It is. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mel. Have a good day.
Thanks. You're welcome. Thank you. That was Wendy. M from Colorado. Hey, Lady, it's your turn. You're up for your three, and then Freedom will follow you.
Good morning, everyone. It's Leah D. in Brooklyn, and I felt compelled to share because that's part of what recovery tells you to do. You know, you don't always know why you have to do it, but you're supposed to do it. So I have never seen one single case recover where the state of mind exists to the extent that yours does. So being in the rooms 45 years, but only being recovered a little over three, really gives you time to reflect. Now, when I came in, I really believed that when they said they were powerless over food, you know, you grow up your whole life and you hear everyone say, use a little willpower, just stop, eat cottage cheese, walk away, you're such a failure, and finding out that there are other people who are powerless, and I really thought the answer was strictly getting on that food plan, you know, the three gray, orange and blue, and I pick gray like everybody else and follow the plan, weigh and measure, keep the blinders on, don't do this, don't do that, keep your house clean. And it was a total regimented attack of control. God was not there. Recovery was not there. It worked. It worked. The supported dieting helped. It worked. I never left the rooms. But life became life, and I did pick up. And I roller coastered for the next, I don't know, 25 years. Who knows? Up and down, 100 pounds. And I said to someone this morning, you know, I have this chronic mind. The gates of hell closed around me constantly. Putting on 100 pounds, losing it and putting it on is living in a zippered body. And I said to someone today, imagine if you didn't know you had clown face and you thought you were okay and someone took a picture and you saw the clown face. You'd go, oh my God, who's that? It's the same thing when you get obese after not being obese. I finally crawled in here 3.5 years ago and began to work this program. God sent me. He must have thrown me in, like dropped me off, and people reached out to me and I started to work, and I didn't want to work. I complained and said, this won't work, and my sponsor said, let's start with the set-aside prayer. And 3.5 years later, I am living in the fourth dimension, and I am recovered, and I am that person with all the promises. And for the first time in 20 years, I can look at a picture of myself and smile and say, you look good, Leah D. You look like Leah D. You look like your insides match your outsides. Is there no exception? The exception is to work this. And it's not comfortable. My life in the last 18 months has been a whirlwind. I can't tell that now. It's not important. But line by line, word by word, definitions, friends, support, listening, begging, help, 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 has allowed me to sit here today and to know that if I'm in fear, I got to pray it away. I have tools of recovery. That's it. Time. Thank you so much. And I'm going to finish this meeting and then go to work. Thank you, Mel.
Thank you so much, Leah D. Freedom, it's your turn. And unfortunately, we have about 1 minute. I hope that does not cause any difficulty.
Thank you for all those who do service. I was stuck in a love and hate relationship with myself for many years, looking for love and food, and hating myself for abusing myself with food. My emotions and my attitudes were controlling me. Learning to surrender to God one day at a time. I can't do this on my own. I was just spinning my wheels and not moving anywhere. But this program is helping me to be able to learn to surrender and take it a day at a time. Thank you, and I'll mute.
Thank you so much, Frida. My apologies for that limited amount of time. That does conclude the sharing part of our meeting. We're going to go ahead and close this as we transition to the unrecorded piece. Wanted to thank everyone for making this meeting possible and for the shares that go deep and run deep in this room that just speak to my heart every day. So thanks again. We will close the meeting here with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we'll follow that with the Serenity Prayer before we transition into the last part of our unrecorded meeting. Sherry KB, would you please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. But the answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and greater events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.